The federal mandate finding transgender students should be able to use bathrooms and locker rooms matching their gender identities is one of the most divisive issues facing public schools. Parents on both sides are willing to fight and sue for what they think is best for their kids. Two Lehigh Valley families got very publicly swept up in media coverage of the issue last year. But as WHYY's Laura Benchoff reports, behind sensational headlines lies space for common ground.
Ah, to be a suburban preteen, those precious years post-playground and pre-driver's license when chain restaurants, in this case Applebee's, are prime hangouts.
Strawberry sparkler, Miss Twist, strawberry sparkler, strawberry. Dewberry burst, Mountain Dew, Dewberry burst, raspberry.
Strawberry sparkler.
12-year-old Ari Bowman is sitting in a booth with his friends and the cast of Extra Ticket, his Lehigh County Middle School's fall play. He plays Steve, a small part, but central to the plot, which revolves around precious tickets to the hit Broadway musical Hamilton.
I basically gave the girl, like, the two tickets in the first place, so I kind of, like, started the whole thing.
A few years ago, Bowman, who's wearing black sweatpants and has a buzzed haircut, might have been cast in a different role. Bowman is transgender. In fifth grade, he began attending school as a boy. His mom, Elisa, says it took her a while to get on board with his transition, especially the part about him using the boys' locker room.
I was a wreck the first time he used the locker room. I was so scared of what other kids might do. And it was completely uneventful. Nobody said anything to him. Nobody looked at him. His friends changed right next to him.
The stakes are high. Before being allowed to use the boys' facilities, Elisa says Ari would simply not drink water all day to avoid needing the bathroom.
We were walkers, so I'd pick him up from school, and he'd be, like, dancing the whole way home, like, I can't make it, I can't make it, I can't make it. And then he'd dehydrate himself so that that wouldn't happen.
In addition to saving his bladder, being able to use the boys' bathroom helps Ari's mental health. Studies of transgender youth show lack of acceptance contributes to higher depression and suicide rates among trans kids. Then, this past summer, 14-year-old Sigourney Coyle, a student at a different school in the same district, aired her frustrations over the mandate at an East Penn school board meeting.
I am a woman, and I identify as a woman, and you can't make me change in front of someone who I don't identify with, who is physically male.
Coverage of Coyle's speech quickly went viral, landing headlines everywhere from BuzzFeed to the neo-Nazi website The Daily Stormer. Coyle and Bowman have never met. But on the other side of town, Coyle's speech hit Elisa Bowman like a ton of bricks.
And I was like, wow, I thought we had support until that happened. And so I went to this other place of being scared again.
So, at the next school board meeting, Ari stood up in front of the same body to share what it's like being a transgender student, something many of his classmates didn't know about him. At the end, the superintendent shook his hand. That could be the end of the story, but it's not. The Coyles have their own story, which shows just how complicated implementing the mandate is and how easy it is for people on both sides to talk past each other.
All kinds of headlines with skewed perspectives on it from both sides of the fence.
That's Sigourney's mom, Erin.
And that's when all of the hate mail started.
Yeah, threats.
Yeah, death threats.
She says there's a lot you don't know if you just heard her daughter's viral soundbite. For one thing, their family is Christian. But they're not, in her words, the religious nutcases left-leaning media portrayed them to be.
My daughter and I especially, we've always really felt live and let live. You know, I can believe very strongly in something without inflicting it upon everybody else.
Sigourney also bends some gender norms herself, like entering a high school carpentry program to further her dreams of being a missionary. Now, the Coyles don't support the bathroom mandate. Like many critics, they feel it was an overreach by the federal government. But they say her speech was in response to weeks of back and forth with the school district about finding an acceptable private changing option for Sigourney, like in a bathroom stall or behind a shower curtain. That's something the bathroom mandate suggests as a best practice for schools, as Sigourney says she wrote in a letter to the school board.
A letter came back that said you can change privately in the nurse office, but the bathroom stalls in the locker room aren't allowed.
School district officials wouldn't comment, saying communications with parents are confidential. The school finally offered Coyle a chance to take gym class in the summer and avoid the locker room altogether. Without passing gym, she can't graduate high school. And while the initial hubbub has died down, cultural anxieties about gender and bodies don't change overnight. The Supreme Court has decided to hear a case on schools that go against the mandate, and a ruling could inflame tensions again. But some things have changed, says Erin Coyle. Before they spoke up, her family didn't know anyone in the school who was transgender.
We actually were contacted by two transgender students that are in her school, in her class, in her grade. And at first, they were very upset.
On Facebook, the students accused the Coyles of being transphobic and too focused on what trans bodies look like and not what it's like to be trans. After chatting online, Coyle and the students found common ground. The students empathized with the bullying Sigourney faced, and they support her requests for privacy. For WHYY, I'm Laura Benshoff.